Hi, this is Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, telling you to stay tuned to WNJC 1360 AM for Thursday in the Doghouse, coming right up.
Mama was a mutt, Daddy was one too. Me, I'm a little bit of everything, everything that I use. One day I'm walking down.
Good morning, listeners. Welcome to Thursday in the Doghouse, the best talk radio program in New Jersey that discusses everything and anything about our favorite companion pet, dogs. I'm your host, Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer. I just finished reading a book called Pillow with a Heartbeat. This is a wonderful story about Truffles, a mini chocolate poodle puppy with a huge heart. Truffles tells his story about starting out as a sad and awkward pet shop puppy who became a very special companion pet as well as a therapy dog. Our guest today is Nancy Stanley, who authored this really sweet book. But Truffles himself actually narrates it from his own point of view. That makes it really, really cute. I'm telling you, it was really adorable. Nancy Stanley has been recognized as one of the modern-day animal therapy pioneers. She first introduced animal therapy to severely handicapped children and to convalescent hospitals for the elderly in 1982. Nancy also is the founder of a nonprofit organization called Tender Loving Zoo. Pillow with a Heartbeat is the first of many books to come as Truffles continues his journey bringing unconditional love to the elderly and to children battling life-threatening diseases. Nancy has been a wish grantor for the Make-A-Wish Foundation in San Diego for several years, and it was as a wish grantor that Nancy was inspired by a very special child to write Pillow with a Heartbeat. Nancy is a former New Yorker. She's the mother of two and grandmother of three. Truffles and Nancy live near the ocean in La Costa, California. And we'll talk to Nancy in just a moment. But please let me tell you what services I offer as a professional dog trainer and certified behavior consultant in the South Jersey area. Is your dog always in the doghouse? Does he greet people by jumping all over them? Does she chew your shoes and steal your undies? Guess what? Your dog needs training. Hi, I'm Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, and I train dogs using only positive-based methods. My services include private training right in your own home. I also offer group puppy kindergarten classes starting at 8 weeks of age and group classes for adolescent and adult dogs beginning at 5 months of age. All group classes are held at Dog Days Camp for Canines, 23 West Main Street, Marlton, New Jersey. For more information, please contact me at 609-280-9338 or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Again, that's 609-280-9338 or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Nancy, thanks so much for joining us in the doghouse this morning.
It's a pleasure being here.
Nancy, when you purchased your little dog Truffles, he helped you by filling a gap in your life. Would you mind telling us what happened to you and how this little chocolate poodle helped to heal you?
Well, one thing was he was replacing another dog that I loved so much who actually started my therapy program here in San Diego.
Okay.
And I was so missing him. But personally, my father passed away. I had some other problems in the family. And, you know, people all have problems. People you love, you know, dying and leaving. And but as soon as I got Truffles, it was like all gone. He understood exactly how I was feeling and didn't have to say a word.
That's great.
And that's what they do. That's what the dogs do. They replace sadness and make you happy and fill your life with all kinds of joy.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of our listeners can identify with that. I know I can. So Truffles was a pet shop dog. Why did you decide to buy a dog from a pet shop rather than going to a shelter or humane society?
Well, actually, he came from a breeder. It wasn't actually a pet shop, but to me, it's all the same.
Right.
I was looking especially for one that looked like my old Freeway.
Okay.
And after a long time searching, and I'm talking a couple of years, because it was hard to even get another dog at the time,
mm-hmm.
I went to a breeder and just luck had it that they had a chocolate that I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And he turned out to be just the most amazing dog in the whole entire world.
Mm-hmm.
But I advocate all the time, I advocate going to rescues and adopting dogs, because they make phenomenal therapy dogs. Just if you don't do them as a therapy dog, they just make phenomenal pets, because
mm-hmm.
they're so grateful being rescued.
Right.
And they know.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, when I read in the book that Truffles had some challenges even before you took him home, is that right? I mean, did he have any health problems or something like that?
Well, I found out when I got him home that all he had was it started out just as an earache and a cough, which is very common when you get new puppies, which can be healed quickly with an antibiotic. But the vet that I went to gave him a 3-in-1 shot without even telling me, even though I knew that it was wrong.
Right.
To see that.
Yeah.
And he was only a pound.
Wow.
This is to teach other people when they have tiny little new dogs that they don't have to get 3-in-1 vaccinations. And they can break them up or that way, but
space them out. Right, you're right. And for a pound dog,
this doctor almost killed my dog, and it took over a month and a half to get him well. His lungs collapsed, and it was because I didn't go to work. I didn't leave the house. I was with him for all this time,
wow.
back and forth to the vet, and I sued the doctor, and I won my lawsuit. So
did you really?
Yeah.
Wow. So was this the veterinarian that the breeder used, or
this was my vet.
Your own vet.
Yeah, okay. I found this vet because I had moved here to San Diego and had to find a new vet from where I used to live, and this guy, wow. He treated the whole situation just very badly, and luckily, Truffles has a goodwill. He still has. He's 7 years old, and he still is a feisty little strong dog, thank
mm-hmm.
goodness.
Mm-hmm. So he's healthy now.
We got him well.
Yeah.
We got him well.
Good, good. And has he been healthy ever since? Did he have any other problems when you first got him?
Nope. He's absolutely, thank goodness, 100% perfect.
I have a question because vaccine, you know, this vaccine issue is a very interesting topic in itself. And I wonder if you, when you have him vaccinated now, do you space them out? Are there certain vaccines that he's had a bad reaction to that you can't give him now?
I don't vaccinate my dog.
I see.
I don't believe in them, and I just think it's a money thing for a lot of people. I don't know if I should be saying this, but
no, I want your opinion. I'd like to hear what you have to say.
My opinion that they're, like, they'll give rabies shots to, we don't have rabies here. I mean, my dog doesn't go run through the forest, you know, and get bit by a rat or something that has rabies. So I refuse rabies shots.
Okay.
If I had to get one, if I went to a country where I have to get it and I want, or if I, then I would have to get it.
Mm-hmm.
But for normal people who live a normal life and they don't have their dogs, like if you lived in Montana
mm-hmm.
or they run loose, you know, there, that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But to live in a community like this where rabies is certainly not prevalent, you don't need rabies shots.
Right.
You don't need all these other vaccines that they give you, these 3-in-1s that are...
Yep, the combo shots.
Yeah, they're not, I know at least 3 dogs that are dead because they got vaccines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's when I learned it's not necessary.
Mm-hmm.
I've had 15 dogs in my life. None of them had vaccines.
Well, in California, is it required by the townships that you have your dog, you know, in order to register your dog, they must have a rabies shot?
Yeah, that's what they say.
Yeah.
But you can always find your wonderful vet who doesn't believe in it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll maybe give them, you know, like a little spot of it, and I don't register my dogs either.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, I can get someone's going to come down on me on this, but it's okay. I don't care because I strongly believe that it's just ridiculous. It's like a lot of the treatments they give people. Mm-hmm. I work with a lot of kids and a lot of people mm-hmm. that get unnecessary this and that. And mm-hmm. it's all money. Mm-hmm. All, you know, the pharmaceutical companies are not my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it's the same for dogs.
Right. Well, that's interesting, and it's just a little side topic that just came up with this conversation, because I tend to agree with you about, you know, this vaccine issue, but, you know, the law is the law, and you got to kind of work around it and do what you feel is necessary. So,
yes, you do, and you have to be responsible. I mean, like I said, if you live in an area where you have raccoons and all mm-hmm. these, and you let your dog out, yeah, I would get a rabies shot.
Right, right. And I do live in the woods, but you know what I do? I titer my dog. I've had the vet run a titer test when he was due for the rabies shot, and his immunity showed very high, so I certainly didn't have him vaccinated again. And that is an option for people, to run titer tests, you know, rather than actually have the shots. And you know what? I think that that's a safer way to go about it.
Oh, definitely. And Truffles, I should have said that, because he got these vaccines when he almost died. My vet says that she would never take a chance of doing it again.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So he legitimately should not have vaccines, and
yeah.
he doesn't.
Right.
So that's the way it goes.
Good, good. So, all right. So you started a pet therapy program in 1982 called Tender Loving Zoo. Tell us about that program.
Well, I started it because I just wanted to do it by myself, actually, just to pay back for having such a blessed life, and I had beautiful children, and my family was healthy, and I thought, gee, my dogs growing up have done so much for me. Just from the time I was in a crib, I remember my first German Shepherd just staring at me when I looked out of the crib.
Yeah.
And that dog became a really wonderful pal to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to pay back, so I just took my little dog and went to one of the centers here in San Diego, which isn't here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But the children were profoundly retarded, mentally challenged, physically challenged. They were just, I mean, you couldn't get much worse than this, and I thought, well, this is the school where I want to be in to see if I can make a difference. And I actually did make a huge difference to all these children who they thought wouldn't react
mm-hmm.
and wouldn't respond anyway,
mm-hmm.
and they all did. Their mm-hmm. hands, you know how you find children who are very ill, their hands are very stiff, mm-hmm. rigid, their bodies are rigid. Well, when they got their hands around my dog,
right,
their hands started relaxing, and mm. the nurses and the aides were just, they were in awe of the whole thing. And one little girl, just one little girl who never talked, said, puppy.
Aww.
And that's what said, okay, I'm on to something.
Right.
And so I ended up forming a nonprofit with a bunch of friends of mine. We had a van donated by Home Motors,
mm-hmm.
and we got animals from the pound, and they cleaned them up and let us borrow them to take little puppies to these centers. And while we were working, we actually got them adopted.
I imagine you did.
It was amazing. It was just, the time was just perfect for this. And we ended up in 52 centers around San Diego, and I had about 45 volunteers.
How about that?
And it was wonderful, and it was just a time in my life where I thought, wow, if I die tomorrow, I made a difference. And
absolutely.
We'll do this. And then an article got written in the Times, and in Dallas, Texas, Ronald Reagan read it, sent an unsolicited letter to the school that I was started in, and it took off from there.
Wonderful.
It was like everybody was trying to take their dogs, and at that time, you didn't have to certify your dog.
I see.
But well, now it's different. It's become such a business,
mm-hmm,
sort of,
mm-hmm,
a wonderful, kind business,
mm-hmm,
that now they have all these places where you go and certify your dogs, make sure that they're you know, they're healthy and they do the right thing for people. And it's because I think it's wonderful.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. So, when you went and you got Truffles, you saw him twice, I believe, before you actually took him home. Is that correct?
I did. Yes, I did.
And how old was he the first time you saw him? And how come you didn't take him home the first time?
Well, when I first saw him, he was only 9 weeks, and little teacup poodles, if they're really good breeders, they won't let them leave until they're about 10 or 11 weeks old.
I see. Okay.
Because they're so little, and they need to be with their mothers.
Right. You know,
and get all the nourishment they can get, and then separate them.
Mm-hmm.
I hate the whole idea of separating in the first place, but it has to be done.
Sure, sure.
Anyway, I had planned a trip. I didn't think I'd find this puppy that I loved, and I planned a trip to for 2 weeks, and I couldn't take him.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I left, I was thinking, oh my goodness! I mean, he was mine. I already put a deposit down on him, and he was mine. But I was thinking he must be missing me so much, and he was. He remembered when I came back. It's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
And a little dog, this little, tiny, he was only 2 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by the time I got him home, and a couple of weeks later, he got up to be 2 pounds. I mean, my God.
Yeah.
And brilliant.
How much
did... Brilliant dog, right from the very start. I knew this was going to be a perfect therapy dog.
Mm-hmm. Nancy, your voice is fading out a little bit, darling, so try to keep your mouth right near the phone.
Okay, it is, but I'm... hoping it could be the area.
Okay.
I don't know. Is
okay.
That better?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Okay.
So how much does Truffles weigh right now?
He weighs 5.5 pounds.
5.5 pounds. Okay.
He sits in the laps of all the people that I see, and they hardly feel him, but when they touch his hair, he's got the softest hair in the world, and they all call him Silky now because he's like silk.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So he answers to the name Silky.
He does? Really? So you don't call him...
Well, over there he does, because everyone says, yes, it's Silky.
Oh, okay.
They know his name, but he does feel like silk, because he's always brushed and very soft. And,
mm-hmm.
and that's part of the therapy, is that they feel this warm, soft,
mm-hmm.
you know, little baby in their lap, and it sure turns them around.
Right. Well, when you first saw this little dog, did you know that he would be a good candidate for as a therapy dog, or did you kind of figure that in time you would see whether or not he could do this work?
No, I knew immediately.
And what made you?
I was sitting on the floor with a bunch of other dogs, just to make sure that you know he was the perfect dog.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was sitting there, and there were like 5 little puppies, and they were all playing with each other, and they were very hyper and yipping, and Truffles just walked over to me and with little difficulty and a little help from my hand,
mm-hmm.
sat in my lap.
Okay.
And he picked me. He's the one that really picked me.
Okay. That's interesting.
And I knew he was more for people than he was going to be for dogs, which is true today. He likes all dogs. He likes cats and rabbits and guinea pigs. I mean, he loves everything, never aggressive at all.
Mm-hmm.
But when you take him out, he doesn't like dog parks. He doesn't want to play.
Mm-hmm. I have a dog like that.
In the house he does, but outside, no. He loves to go to people, loves mm-hmm. to go to children,
right.
particularly. And that's what makes a great therapy dog, that mm-hmm. he's more interested in people than dogs.
But he had a dog friend. He has a dog friend, right? Somebody
he
that he actually, brother. He actually,
it's a brother.
It's his brother, but not by actual blood brother, right? It was
he's actually a cousin, but we call him a brother.
Okay, and he was also at the breeders?
Yes, same breeder.
And tell us how they met again. That was so interesting and such a coincidence.
And this is an actual, true, it's amazing. I was sitting in Starbucks one day. Truffles was better. He still wasn't allowed to run around with other dogs because he had just come off of a month and a half of recuperating
mm-hmm.
from this horrible, you know, thing
mm-hmm.
with the vet.
Mm-hmm.
But this man came over to me and said, "What are you doing with Domino?" I said, "What?" I said, "This is Truffle. This is my." He said, "No, no, we have the same dog, exactly, twins. And so he called his wife on the spot, and she came down with Domino, and they hadn't seen each other since, well, it was months, maybe 3 months or whatever it was, 4 months. And these two got together, and they were holding each other with their paws.
Wow.
Licking, crying, and till this day, they are so close and so amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And what's even more amazing is my friends moved away a year and a half ago.
Right.
From here to Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
And they came back just recently, 2 weeks, maybe it's 2 weeks already.
Mm-hmm.
And by accident, Truffles ran down the street where the mall is, ran down the mall, it's an outdoor mall. And he started yipping, and sure enough, it was Domino's mother.
Oh, my.
And she picked him up, and she was crying. She says, I can't believe he remembers me, and I hadn't seen her in a year and a half.
Wow. Oh, yeah, they
and
don't
now,
forget.
And now they're back together. They had a play date day before yesterday.
So see that? He does have a play. He does have a friend that he plays with that's a dog, and that's,
oh, yeah.
That's lovely.
He plays. We went inside my house,
mm-hmm.
and they played together, and... And when he's in the house, he loves it. But when he's outside, except for Domino, they were running around the Starbucks area right there. And people were going, oh, my goodness, they're twins. And they were acting so cute. And it was cheerful because they remember.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something else that I really now confirm, that they do remember.
Oh, yeah, I do believe that they remember.
And it's it was so cute. So now he's got his brother back. And
that's great. So when I was reading the book and I was reading some other information about you, there's a young girl, or there was a young girl named Michelle Butler who was battling leukemia, and she's very special to you.
She was my world.
So tell us a little bit about Michelle and how she inspired you.
Well, I'm a wish granter for the Make-A-Wish Foundation, and Michelle was my wish child.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first met her, I knew there was something really special about her.
Right.
Not only her, but her whole entire family was just amazing.
Right.
And Truffles loved everyone, but there was this special bond between Michelle and Truffles. You can almost not explain it,
mm-hmm.
but you could see Truffles just melted into her. As soon as she saw him, he was all over her.
Right.
And when she didn't feel well, he was quiet. And when she did feel well, he was spunky. And we developed an incredible relationship for over a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought she'd be well and everything would be wonderful, but unfortunately, it didn't work out that way, but her inspiration about life and how she treated the other children that had cancer in the hospital and how she took care of a little baby while she was battling this. There was another baby that had leukemia, and she would hold him all day because he didn't have parents that came to visit all the time.
Right.
And
right.
It was just her personality that inspired me to live a life differently than I do.
I look
at things differently and appreciate things differently, and she's been gone for 2 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still an ache in my heart, but she was so alive and so, oh my God, so ambitious about life. And mm-hmm. so this is why when she said to me one day, boy, if Truffles could just speak to me, imagine the conversation we'd be having.
Right.
It was always so up and so alive, and it was just beautiful. And this light bulb just went off in my head, and I said, I'm gonna write a book, and Truffles is gonna speak to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually finished the entire hard copy of the book, and brought it to her, and she read it.
Wow.
And she read the entire book. She didn't see it in the package with all the pictures.
Right.
Yeah, but she read the book, and she absolutely loved it. She asked me to change her name to Olivia, because she's always wanted to be an Olivia. And I did, and that's what happened in the book. It's so sweet, and it came from such a real important place in my heart,
mm-hmm.
that it had to be successful.
Did you write this book specifically for children?
I wrote it for anyone who loves dogs,
mm-hmm.
who can appreciate how much they give to our world.
Okay. Children
love the book, and I also have a fan club where the kids who read it have been writing Truffles, and It's so cute. And he writes back and sends a picture.
How about that? Okay, so that's wonderful. That must make these children very, very happy. You should accumulate all these letters and somehow publish them with your upcoming books that you're going to continue on with, Truffles.
I am doing that.
Yeah.
Funny you should say.
Yeah. Well, it's...
I'm working on the second book.
That's great. That's great. And I love the cover, and I love the little collar. That is so clever. I don't know who designed that for you, but when we give out the information about how to purchase this book, you'll see it's a beautiful gift. I mean, to give a child or to give any dog owner, the book is so colorful, and there's a collar that actually goes around the book. That looks like the collar that Truffles wears. It's very, very clever and really got my attention right away.
That's a nice gift.
Yeah. Can you tell us now, what type of training did you do with Truffles at the time that allowed him to then become a therapy dog, and is he now certified?
Well, he is now certified because I have never done that. Because since I'm the one that did it and checked out all the dogs before they went out when I had my program,
right?
I just didn't think Truffles needed it because I was acting like a big shot. Well, I did it, but actually he did need it because I wanted to work with hospice, and hospice demanded that he had a certificate.
Really? Okay. Well, I can understand that.
That was fine because he passed in an hour.
Okay.
So the things he didn't do, which is like walking and healing.
Right.
Sitting when you stop. I mean, I know you don't really need that for therapy to have them walk on a leash and sit when you stop.
Uh-huh.
But it's just a matter of showing that your dog can be disciplined. That's all.
So they certified you even though he didn't walk and heal or he didn't sit in right
there? No, I had to teach him.
You did teach him that.
I actually trained him for a week to stop when I took him for walks.
Right.
Never on a leash, so that was the other thing. He didn't like being on a leash.
Ah.
So he walked and he did it perfectly. So within 1 hour, every time I stopped, he sat down.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
When I went back for the training, there was another thing that they can't jump on you when they see you, like jump up on you.
That's right. That's right.
All kinds of love.
Right.
If somebody's not very stable and a bigger dog jumps on you, they could fall over.
Correct.
And these are important things. And I thought, wow, after I did the certificate, I thought, this is a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad people are doing it because it does make a difference.
Okay. What other behaviors did you have to train, or did he pass? Can you give us an idea of what the requirements are?
Yeah. First of all, they'll make a big noise, and so your dog doesn't get freaked out.
Right.
Or they'll drop a pan or something nearby.
Right. Distraction training.
Because when you're in the convalescent homes where I go now all the time, you have the noise, people are dropping things, the wheelchairs are all around you, and you can't have a dog that, you know, has his tail tucked under.
Right, right.
So that's one of the things.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly it's just basic. A calm and friendly dog, they touch him all over, make sure he doesn't, you know, like nip you if you rub his ear or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Very gently they rub his all over his body, wherever they want.
Mm-hmm.
The walking is, like I said, they'll have another dog there, just one other dog, to make sure that they interact well with other dogs.
Right.
Not jump all over them and get just, hello, how are you, and then go.
Walk away. How about separation? There's something called supervised separation where you had to leave maybe for 3 minutes.
Okay, some of the places where they do the certificates make you do that.
Right.
Love on a Leash here does not make you do that.
And that's very kind.
I don't agree with leaving. I would never leave my dog with any of the patients or the residents.
Right.
Ever.
Never leave them alone. Listen, we have Nancy, we only have a minute. Can you please tell our listeners very quickly where they can purchase the book and where can they get onto your blog site?
Okay, well, my website is pillowwithaheartbeat.com.
Okay.
And they can get it on Kindle and Nook. They can go into Barnes & Noble and order it.
Okay. Is it available at Amazon? Is your book?
There are two 800 numbers on my website. One, you can get it with the collar.
Okay.
And one is without the collar. My reprints prints do not have the collar because it's very expensive, but they're all the same price.
All right.
And I'm also donate proceeds from the one with the collar to my charity.
Nancy, thank you so much for joining us in the doghouse today. I wish you the best of luck with Truffles, and I'm looking forward to seeing the next book.
Okay, thanks so much for having me.
Have a great day.
Thanks. Take care. Bye-bye.
Have a great day, listeners. We'll talk to you next week.
I'm glad you're home, but where you've been? Since 2 o'clock, I've been holding it in. Grab the leash, let's go chop chop. If I don't get out soon, the cord's gonna pop. Twist and shout.